talk to you about the French I took.
Good morning, 609 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's good to have you with us. Joining us now by phone, we have Dean DeBolt. He is the University Archivist and the head of the West Florida History Center at the University of West Florida Library. Dean, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Yeah, Andrew, great to talk to you today.
Hey, great to have you.
I hope to correct that. I hope to correct that song. Don't know much about history.
Always, exactly right. That's why we would like to have you on. So your article this week in the PNJ, we've been doing this whole series of having the authors of these articles on every week. Scheduling didn't allow us to do it yesterday. That's why I wanted to have it this morning. But yours, this was all about mail delivery and how this worked in Pensacola 200 years ago. So tell us a little bit about what was communication via letter like back then.
Well, it's pretty difficult. Rachel Jackson wrote at the front of the first letter she wrote, she complained that there's no mail, no post office here. And the only way you could send mail from Pensacola in those days was you hoped to find somebody who was traveling for you. You'd give them a letter, and they would travel and by horse or maybe by boat or whatever and try to get it mailed to a place where there might be a post office and normal mail delivery. I mean, the United States had a mail delivery system. You just had to try to get the mail to that point, and then it could be picked up by stagecoach or sent up river by boat or something like that.
So
it was quite difficult for a while.
So you were basically in Pensacola. You were trying to hitch a ride on somebody who was either going where you wanted to go with your letter or else they were going to connect to the broader system and then once from there to get it where it needed to go. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Now, Andrew Jackson was quite lucky because being the military guy, he had troops at his disposal, so he could call up somebody and send them off by horseback and said, hey, you know, take this letter to New Orleans or something like that. But you never knew how long it was going to take. I mean, one of his letters he wrote just a few days before the flag ceremony in July. It took 8 weeks to get from Pensacola to New England. So mail was not quite all that dependable.
Wow.
The other problem with the mail system, once it got established, was that at this time period, it was the recipient that paid the postage for mail.
So
that opened up quite a lot of interesting issues in itself.
Yeah, so like every letter, so letters were basically like the old collect calls where you would send it and then you'd hope somebody on the other end was willing to pay to take it?
Yeah, that's right. And you'd hope that they had the money to pay for it. There's one story I didn't put in the article that doesn't pertain to Pensacola, but to give you an example, the hero of the Mexican-American War of 1845 was General Zachary Taylor. And so in 1848, the Whigs got together, and they decided to nominate him to run for President of the United States. And they had their convention in New York City, and they put him up and all that. Well, Zachary Taylor wasn't in New York City at that time. He was in Arkansas. And so once they nominated him, they wrote him a letter. They wrote him a lovely letter saying, Mr. Taylor, General Taylor, do you please accept the nomination to run for president? And they waited and they waited and they waited, and they didn't hear from him. And finally, they had to send somebody all the way to Arkansas to see him personally. And when they got there, they discovered that since he was the great hero, there were dozens, if not hundreds, of letters sitting in the post office written by people everywhere to the great Zachary Taylor. And he wasn't about to go to the post office and spend $30 or $40 a day just to pay the postage to get these letters. So it was sitting there in the nomination was sitting there in the dead letter office because he hadn't paid the postage to get it. So that was one of the problems with paying for mail.
Why was that system in place? Do you know why it was the recipient and not the sender who paid the postage?
Well, yeah, I mean, the system was expected to pay for itself. I mean, the stamps and all that is essentially a tax. It's essentially a tax that you pay to the government to operate the system. So the idea was the person paying for the mail had to do the system. It also saved the postmasters in rural areas from having to manage money, if you will, and a great deal of things. One of the things about it is you wrote your letter, you folded it up, you sealed it with a wax seal to keep the pieces of paper together, and you sent it off. And sometimes when you came into the post office, which could be a shelf on a store in town,
right?
The postmaster would say, "Hey, I got a letter sitting here for you," and they'd let you look at it. And you might look it over. There might be something on it that, oh, it's from your sister in Boston or something like that. But there, some thrifty people realized that they could take a letter like that and they could put a little ink mark in a corner of the envelope. And so you'd take the letter, you'd look it over, and the ink mark was in the left corner, and that meant everything was fine at home. And you'd tell the postmaster, "Oh, I just don't have the money to pay for that today. You'll just have to hold on to it, you know." And then another time you'd go in and there'd be an ink mark maybe in the right-hand another corner, and that meant you better open this mail. And he'd say, I think I'll pay the postage for this one today. and you'd pay the postmaster money for it. The other thing was that since the post office had no delivery, I mean, you couldn't live in Pensacola and expect a mail carrier to come around. You had to go by wherever the post office was and see if there was mail. That's why so many people who ran newspapers, and that's what happened in Pensacola. The first postmaster was the guy who was also running the newspaper. That meant his office, where you came in, became a focal point of news. So if somebody would come in from northern Escambia County, a trader or something, to pick up his mail, you get to talk to him, and now you had a story or something to put in the paper. So it was quite handy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Handy to do that.
Huh?
Even in the 20th century, they always talked about the local post office being the focal point of the community. Everybody would come by and pick up their mail and get some post, and they'd start talking and that kind of thing.
That's fascinating because, you know, it's certainly not the way the post office functions for our society today. It's so much more minimalist, transactional. It's not a gathering place at all, but it's interesting to think about that making sense as being that kind of a place in the past. Well, Dean, as always, great information, so fascinating. And, you know, thanks for giving us a snapshot look back into the past. Dean DeBolt, he is the university archivist and the head of the West Florida History Center at the University of West Florida Library. We're looking forward to the 200th anniversary coming up in a couple of months. Dean, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for teaching us.
You're welcome. Have a great day, Andrew.